Welcome back! In today's episode, we're going to be talking to Brooke Stacey. Brooke is a professional hockey player who plays for the Buffalo Buttes in the National Women's Hockey League. Together, we're going to go through how she got to where she is today and, of course, some of the struggles she faced along the way. So at the time of this interview, the National Women's Hockey League season has just come to a close. How'd the season go?
It went really well. Definitely not as planned. We didn't get to finish out the tournament per se. Hopefully they're able to find another date to finish the semifinals and finals. I'm not too hopeful, but we can hope still. You know, I think everyone just got back onto the ice after probably over a year for everyone playing hockey because of COVID. So I think everyone was just super excited to be with their friends and be able to play hockey again. Like I said, it didn't go as planned, but yeah. It was a good time to be with my friends and be able to play hockey again.
I'm definitely right there with you, hoping that they find a way to finish the season. Like, it looked like you were just getting started out there. So, but even if they don't, there's always next year. So did you want to start us off by telling us about your childhood?
So I grew up in Ganawage. It's a reservation just outside of Montreal in Quebec. I did go to Mohawk Immersion School, which is our language here in Ganawage. I grew up learning Ganyageha in school, and at home I would speak English, but primarily I would only read in Mohawk until grade 7. So the transition into high school was pretty difficult, I found, because that's when I only started to read and write in English. I did go to like our Gunasesne, which is like where we do most of our ceremonies and songs and stuff like that growing up. I found I got disconnected from that once I left the reservation to go to a prep school in grade 9. And I just haven't found my way back there yet. I do want to go back, but I do have a lot of anxiety and like I'm super shy. So it's definitely holding me back quite a bit. But I thought growing up here was good. No complaints.
Yeah. Would you mind if we talked about your experience at the Ontario Hockey Academy and moving away from home for the first time?
So I moved away when I just turned 14. So I was going into grade 9 and I stayed there from grade 9 to grade 12. It's actually only like an hour away. So it wasn't a terrible move. I knew that it was in my best interest with hockey for sure. I don't remember it being too difficult to be away from home because my family came up like every weekend to watch me play. And so I was able to spend time with them basically whenever, like once a week or so. So it wasn't terrible. I'm glad I did it. If someone does have the opportunity to go to a prep school, if they do want to pursue hockey, I would definitely recommend it. It's definitely a once in a lifetime experience. I lived in dorms with all my friends and it was just school and hockey constantly. It did get a little bit tiring, I have to say. I think if I had another sport during the summer to focus on that wasn't hockey, it would have been more beneficial to me. I did play soccer for, I think, 2 summers after going prep school, which I think helped. But then after that, I did stop playing and I think it might have taken a little bit of a toll on me because it was just hockey, which is okay to an extent. But I think it's good to have another side thing to do besides hockey.
Yeah, to balance it out.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually moved away for a year too and I went to a private school in Winnipeg. So I can kind of relate with a lot of what you're saying. It's definitely a unique experience. And I would also like to reiterate that if you have the chance, you should go. It's definitely, definitely changed my life. So when I first met you, you had just finished your time with the U18 Team Canada. What was it like being able to represent Canada on a national level like that?
It was really cool. I really was not expecting it. I actually had no idea that they were looking at me as a potential player for tryouts or anything. And I remember I was at a hockey tournament and his name was Brian Tardif, who was a recruiter for OHA when I was there. Came up to me after a game in Ottawa and he's like, oh my God, I'm so excited for you. Like, congratulations. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, it was just a normal game. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And so I went to my parents and they were like, you have tryouts with Team Canada U18. I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I actually had no idea. So it was really a surprise because I didn't know they were looking at me as a player. Like, no one ever told me. And so we had tryouts and I made the team for the Lake Placid. I think it was a 3-game series against the US. And so I made that team. And so that was my first time playing with them. And it was pretty exciting and intimidating. I was thankful it was close because like the whole reserve came to watch me, which was awesome. I had the biggest fan base there. It was so cool. And then I later found out that I was going to go to Budapest, which is where the U18 tournament took place. And it was exciting because I'd never been overseas either. And so we were in Budapest and we did make it to the gold and we ended up beating Canada. I think it was 5-1, which was awesome. So just that experience as a whole, like being able to go overseas and then play a very high competitive hockey was just awesome and incredible. It doesn't really hit you that like you're one of the top players of your age in the whole country. I still don't think it hits me now, but it's just like a cool thing to think back on and like having the medals and like just the experience of being overseas in Hungary was pretty awesome.
I know for me personally, it was really cool to meet like a First Nation role model that I could look up to who like played on a national level like that. Is that something that you thought of, that you were kind of setting an example for younger athletes?
No, like at that point, I wasn't thinking about that so much. Like it only started to hit me more once I got into like later college, university.
Yeah, I think that's a really healthy mindset to have, especially at that age. So after your time at the Ontario Hockey Academy, you chose to go play D1 hockey. What was it like for you to get those recruitment letters and what made you decide to go with the University of Maine?
I actually got my first email from a university in grade 9. I was not mature enough or like even knowing what I'm going to do with my life in grade 9. So I was like, what are you doing emailing me? Because I don't even know if I'm going to like hockey in 4 years, yeah. To be really honest. So that was the first time I was approached just by email and whatnot. And so that was just kind of like, oh, this is real. And then I think it was grade 11 where more schools were approaching me. And I visited Clarkson and St. Lawrence. And the campus was kind of small and didn't have like too many programs, especially because I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I knew like going to a school with not a lot of programs probably wasn't in my best interest. So then I don't remember how I got in touch with UMaine, but I ended up visiting the campus and I immediately fell in love with the campus. It's just a beautiful place. I still love it. So I was recruited to them and they offered me a full athletic scholarship and they were the first school to give me a full scholarship or offer it. And I just kind of went for it just because I loved the campus so much. And then my coaches, they made it feel like it was going to be a very family-oriented team, which it did end up being that way. You know, especially my senior year, I think it was just like a very good year with teammates where like everyone like enjoyed each other's company and stuff like that. So it was definitely the right decision to go to UMaine.
That's awesome. So once you were at UMaine, did you experience any kind of homesickness or anything, or did that family environment that you mentioned kind of help with that? I know that you moved away before, but like UMaine's a little bit further and definitely a different setting being in university.
UMaine is about 5.5 hours. And it's actually such a beautiful drive there. I love doing it. And I did it a lot. Yeah, I think that like my teammates helped a lot building friendships. And you're always distracted in university. Really, there's not too much time that you have to yourself. We had one day off a week. So we're usually at the rink like 4 hours a day between workout and on ice practice. And then obviously you have schooling and then you want to have a little bit of a social life with your friends. So you definitely don't have too much time to miss home, really.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is really good.
I wanted to ask you if there was ever a time that you experienced any kind of doubt in yourself or your abilities to complete school. And then how did you overcome that?
I don't think there was ever a time where schooling was like, I don't know. I'm trying to think back if I ever, nothing is like stands out where I was like, I'm ready to go home. Like I knew that it was something I had to do. And like, it was definitely encouraging that my family was very supportive and that like the friends I met at UMaine made the experience like that much better. So I think definitely building, I guess, your own little family where you go is very important, because obviously you're going to miss home, you're going to miss your family. But I find that after I left university is when I started to miss home more. So I think that's has to go with like having more downtime. You're not as busy. You're not like, I wasn't playing hockey the first year out of university. So I think like that big life change just kind of gets on you a little bit. But so nothing through university really was tugging at me like, you need to go home or anything like that, which is really good for me, because I know it does happen for a lot of Indigenous people.
So when you began your time at UMaine, you were undeclared. How did you figure out what you wanted to specialize in?
Honestly, I still don't know what I want to do with my life. I declared social work for like a semester. And then I was taking like just a bunch of random classes to try to see what I would like to do, or like what I guess program would keep me the most interested. And so I took an intro to sociology, and I was just like, oh, this is really interesting. And then the sociology degree had a focus on crime, law, and justice. So I took some pretty cool classes about like terrorism and just law and stuff like that. So I definitely picked it based on something that could keep me interested. It definitely helped not being bored in every single class, because classes can get very boring. So you definitely have to pick something that you're going to like going to class for.
Yeah, that's some valuable advice right there. No, I was definitely one of those kids in high school, especially in math class, where I'd be sitting there and I could just feel my head like getting heavy. I felt like I was going to pass out. But when I got to college, it was like, it was actually stuff that I wanted to learn about. So it was much easier to be like engaged. And yeah, my grades definitely went up too. So after you graduated and before you ended up going overseas, you kind of took a little break there. Was that like in your head, did you know it was a break, or did you think you were kind of like hanging up the skates?
So I stopped playing in our last game against Northeastern was my last game. So I think that was in March maybe. And then I only went to Europe in the end of January. So almost a full year off of hockey. And like, I did not touch the ice until like maybe 2 months before going to Europe. And it was only once a week in a men's league in Bangor. And I also wasn't really working out either. Like, I just completely took off from hockey. I was pretty like, I think I fell out of love with hockey. My experiences at UMaine with my coaches weren't the best. So like, it helped like with my teammates and stuff. But I think the coaching experience definitely pushed me to not want to pursue hockey anymore. So when I decided to go overseas, I was like, you know, like it's only for, I think I went for like a month and a half. I was like, this is a chance to just kind of see if I can play again and like if I really want to. So I made that decision to go overseas just to see how it is and have that experience of being in Sweden, which was pretty cool that I went to Europe.
Yeah, that must have been a crazy experience. And it definitely paid off too, because you did crazy good going into your first year of the National Women's Hockey League. Yeah, I actually have your stats right here. So for your first year in the NWHL, 14 games played, 8 goals, and 8 assists for a total of 16 points. That's insane. Did you expect to do that good going into it?
Definitely not, because I definitely, when I was in Sweden, I did not perform well.
Oh, really?
I guess I just, I don't know, it was a team that had been together for the whole year. I'm super shy, so I wasn't like connecting with many people. I ended up making one really good friend who I'm still close with now, but I think that definitely took a toll on how I was performing, and then just taking that whole year off obviously also affected my performance. So going into Buffalo, I definitely didn't think I would perform that well right off the bat, but it was pretty cool that I did.
I think that athletic kind of burnout is really common, especially around university hockey. So did going to Sweden help? Did you get that passion back that you were looking for? Was that kind of one of the reasons that you went?
I wanted to give it another chance. Like, I don't think Europe was the place where I was like, oh yes, I love hockey again. Like, it was definitely with the Buffalo Buttes where I definitely enjoyed playing again, and it was like an escape again, I guess, from reality of life. And then so hockey was just like you know, it was fun to come to the rink again. It wasn't stressful. Like, yeah, you want to do good and your coaches expect you to do good, but there wasn't anything compared to university. So I found it being more relaxed and being able to just enjoy what you're doing definitely made it easier to perform and to just enjoy the experience. Obviously, people know that the NWHL doesn't offer livable wages just yet. I think that in a couple of years they will be, just with how it's progressing over the years since I even been there, and it's only been 2 years. So I'm hopeful that eventually it will be living wages before I officially retire, which who knows when that'll be.
Yeah, watching the league grow over the past few years has been really nice, and I think a lot of people hope that it continues to grow as well. So I actually thought you were retiring after your first season with the new addition to your family, and you ended up coming back. Did you want to talk about life as a mom? As well as like the decision to come back into hockey after that.
So I obviously I did have a baby. He is 5 months old now, and I actually had an unplanned C-section, which was pretty traumatic for me because I did not know what to expect. I had a doula I was working with, and we actually did not talk about C-section, so I had no idea what was going on. And so the recovery time with a C-section is about 3 months before you can work out and lift heavy weights. So for 3 months, I was basically not doing anything that I was used to doing, which was very mentally tasking, I found. But if you are a new mom, or if you're thinking about having kids, but you're like, oh, I still like want to do sports or travel or whatever, becoming a mom shouldn't stop you from doing that. Obviously, it's going to be harder. Being a mom is basically a full-time job on top of everything else you're doing in your life, but it shouldn't be, oh, you're being a mom now, that's all you're going to do. You're allowed to go chase your dreams and be a good mom still. I left my baby for 2 weeks with his dad, and I was alone in a hotel room for 2 weeks without my baby, which was extremely hard, but you know, good thing that we have FaceTime now, so it definitely helped a lot. So I guess just putting that message out there that even when you are a mom, you're still allowed to live your life and choose yourself sometimes. You know, it's important to know that you're allowed to treat yourself and not to feel bad about it. I think the first couple of days I was like enjoying like just laying in bed. I was enjoying taking long showers by myself, you know, so it's like, don't feel bad for enjoying like that little free time that you might get, because you're a full-time mom, you don't get much free time.
Yeah.
So it definitely was hard at the start. I was like, I feel bad enjoying my alone time, because I was like, my baby's at home with his dad, but I also know he's in good hands and that his dad agreed to do this. So it's just realizing that you're allowed to have free time and you're allowed to enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious about what your mindset was with that. Like, what made you want to come back to the National Women's Hockey League so soon after giving birth, when it would have been more than understandable to take some time off?
I knew that if I took too much longer off, I would fall too behind, because I knew that the NWHL was signing very good players. I know a lot of players in the league now, and I knew looking at the rosters, I was like, okay, they're definitely starting to bring in really good players, and that the league is just going to advance in its competitiveness. So I was like, there's no way that I can take off this season and then try to come back. Like I said, I'm very hopeful that wages will increase, and then I would love just to play hockey and be a mom and be able to get a livable wage off of that. So I was like, let's do this. The end of December, I decided I was going to go back, but it was only because the bubble was at the end of January.
Yeah.
So I was like, it gives me a month to kind of get more in shape. So it made me a little bit hopeful.
That's awesome that you had that family support, like to be able to trust that they could hold down the fort and take care of things while you went back to the bubble. It sounds like they've been really supportive of you throughout your entire career, which is awesome.
Yeah, they definitely have been supportive throughout my whole career. You know, like even prep school, like I would have family come down for the weekends to watch me play. And then, like I said, with the Lake Placid 3-game series with the U.S., the whole community came. Like, there was at least like 75 people from my reservation who came. And it was just incredible to see that many people come and support me. And like majority of them were my family,
yeah.
which is awesome. Maybe I'm exaggerating on 75 people, but like it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it's definitely great having that support system behind me, knowing that like whatever decision I make, they'll support me along the way.
Yeah, that community support, there's nothing like it. I know I really missed it when I went to college. Like it was one of the biggest things that I struggled with is not having that. Did you ever experience anything like that? Like any sort of culture shock or?
I feel like I didn't, but I feel like it was also because I wasn't, like I felt like I wasn't very educated on issues that were going around in the world with like racism towards Indigenous people and such. So I think that only now or like my senior year of college is when I would, when I was more exposed to, I guess, situations going around the world and where I became more interested in paying attention to them, to say, because obviously it's easy to just avoid and not see what's going on around the world because it's all on social media and the news stations and stuff like that. So I found that once I started paying more attention is when I was like, okay, this is real and like something needs to happen. So only in the recent years have I become, I guess, more involved and aware of all the situations taking place. So I wouldn't say that I ever had like an oh my gosh culture shock,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess is a good thing too. Like I didn't feel out of place when I went to prep school or when I went to UMaine. So, but I also think that in women's hockey that everyone is pretty welcoming. Obviously, I can't speak for men's leagues, but from my experience, I never felt uncomfortable or out of place.
That's good.
Yeah.
So when you first made the decision to attend the Ontario Hockey Academy, did you expect to pursue hockey to this extent?
When I first went to OHA, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I definitely wanted to play Division One and get a full scholarship for hockey. But I guess I didn't look like too far in the future. Like, as I said, with like even Team Canada, like I had no idea that it was even in the looks for me. So I think like I kind of focused on just in the moment, and then, you know, the opportunities came as I continued to perform. So it's just like kind of staying in the moment. And then just, I guess, once the opportunity came, being able to make that decision to go.
Yeah, I think we have a similar mindset in terms of, you know, taking life as it comes, living day by day, kind of like dealing with things as they come up. But what about hockey? Like, I know that a lot of goaltenders like to do visualization, myself included, like before the games, or like I have goals for the season. Like, are players the same way? I've always kind of wondered.
I'm actually a very, I guess you could say, laid back player when it comes to like the mental areas of hockey. Like, I know a lot of people like to use like mental coaches, like hockey wise. And we did have some with Team Canada where we would have to set aside time to spend with the mental health and like focus on that type of stuff, like getting focused for games and stuff along those lines. But it was never of interest to me. Maybe I should have been more interested in it. I don't know how it would have affected me if I was more in tune with it. I'm just more of a like go there and play type of person. But everyone's different.
Have and run with it.
Yeah, like some people are like, you know, like some people like to go sit in the stands and visualize the ice and like visualize them playing. Like, I was never into any of that. I just kind of was laid back and just would play. And if I had a bad game, well, I don't know what went wrong, but yeah. But everyone's different, so it definitely depends on the person.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody knows what works for them. One thing I wanted to ask is if you ever dealt with any kind of anxiety or anything like that. I know for me personally, it's like playing hockey kind of helped manage that because it was like always working out and training. But it also definitely, once you get to the higher levels, like contributed to it as well. Like, did you ever deal with anything like that?
I think it did with Team Canada. I felt like I was definitely out of place hockey-wise. I guess like the self-confidence was definitely not there when I was with Team Canada. And I wish I knew how to at that time to, I guess, combat that, but it's something I'm still struggling with. So I think it's like definitely important that if you are having those problems to talk to someone about it, because obviously you don't want to be doubting yourself when you're playing hockey. And like, if you do have the opportunities to go to a higher level, you don't want to be mentally in your head doubting yourself. So it's definitely important to recognize that you are doubting yourself and be able to reach out to someone for help, or even like talking to friends and stuff like that. But I found that only at certain points was my anxiety bad with hockey. Like when I first went to Buffalo last season, like I noticed it was affecting my just like anxious, like hand sweating type of stuff, which never happened with hockey on the ice. So that was definitely a struggle there.
Yeah, I know for me personally, my anxiety got to the point where I had to step away from hockey for a bit because it just wasn't fun anymore. But I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to go back to hockey once I got to college. And I found that my relationship with the sport was a lot more healthier just because I was more healthier. You know, like when you're mentally happy, healthy, you're just in a better mindset. And yeah, my performance was better. I enjoyed it more. Like, I think that comes with balancing too. Like, not just like the sport and like your mental health, physical health, but also like, I know I leaned into kind of like my culture and spirituality. Did you ever kind of, like, are you a very spiritual person, would you say?
I wouldn't say that I'm a spiritual person, so I definitely don't have any experience in that area. Once I left the reservation in high school, I definitely became very disconnected. So I don't think it ever, I guess, was a problem for me, like trying to balance and such. I'm trying to relearn the language. Like I try to like use the words that I still remember, especially with my son now. Like I want him to definitely know the language, but it's definitely going to be a process to relearn and just integrate myself back into it.
Well, that's something I can definitely see you doing, like just knowing how determined you are once you make your mind up about something. All right, I'll see where I am at with these questions. What's some advice you would give to somebody not looking to be successful in just hockey specifically, but just life in general?
I would say to chase your dreams, no matter what it is. You can always achieve your goals if you put your mind to it. There might be setbacks. There might be a couple of years where you don't know what you want to do, or you want to just take time away from whatever it is that you want to do. But you can always come back. It doesn't really matter your age or what's going on in your life. There's no timeline. You have your whole life basically to do whatever it is you want to do. And there might be setbacks and such, but it's always important to know what you want to do and just find that, like your family and your friends who will support you. Make sure you have that type of community behind you.
Yeah, like finding your people. I find that's actually been like a running theme through these interviews that I've been doing, which is something I think everybody learns like along the way. One thing I did want to ask you about is where you find the like kind of like the bravery, the courage, like to chase your dreams, like to go overseas, to like pursue D1 hockey, to go back to hockey after you had your kid. Where do you get the motivation for that? Like it's not easy to choose to chase your dreams. So what's behind that for you?
I think my family definitely helped me achieve my goals and dreams. Obviously, without them, I wouldn't have been able to go to prep school. So I'm always thankful for that. And then there is going to be obstacles no matter what you decide to do in life, whether the obstacle is personal or like your relationship or being away from your family. You know, there's always something that's going to become an obstacle. And like I said a couple of times, it's always important to have your people, like your friend base. Where you are is definitely extremely important. Like I wouldn't have made it through university with all the obstacles I went through with my past relationship, with drama within hockey, with the coaches. You know, you need to have that support system with you no matter how shy you are or like anything like that. You need to have a support system because it is definitely extremely important, especially in my, I guess, experience. I think that having that friend base and that those friends that become family is like the only thing that really helped me get through it there. obviously your family is supporting you from home, but obviously it's pretty difficult if they're not there to actually help you. But I think the relationship I had with my mom was very helpful. She's like my best friend, so I tell her everything. So it was always easy just to give her a phone call and, you know, she can talk me through it or whatever. But it's definitely different when you're far away. So it's important to grow that friend base. And then, so yeah, definitely that.
So earlier you mentioned that you're kind of a shy person. Would you still say you're a shy person? Like, you seem to be doing all right now.
Good question. I think I had a lot of setbacks in like my personal life that have caused like anxiety with certain things, like self-confidence for one. I think definitely got impacted along the way. I recognize it with interviews. So when I came back this season, I recognized that during my interviews, I was very nervous and like sweaty, shaky type of anxious, nervous. And so that was something I recognized, but over a couple of days or like a week or so of doing interviews, I started to like notice the confidence coming back. So I guess it's just like the situations, I guess, happen, but you just kind of have to push through it because the interviews are important. Especially I was doing interviews on racism within the US and within hockey and stuff like that. So it was important for me to talk about, but I did recognize that my anxiety was kind of taking a toll on me. So yeah.
That makes sense. That's good that you're able to like recognize that. So I wanted to ask you, as somebody who's moved away from home multiple times, do you have any advice for First Nation youth who are moving away from home?
I think like the only thing like I would have to say is that I know a lot of people, and especially Indigenous people, struggle to leave their reservation, especially if they have strong ties with their family. But I think it's important to know that you're able, if you have an opportunity to pursue school or to, I don't know, just anything in life, you're allowed to go and, you know, chase that goal. You can always come back to the reservation, you know. And even if it's on the reservation where you can chase your goal, that's great too. But I think that a lot of Indigenous people are afraid to leave the reservation, which is completely understandable because I find it's like a whole different world sometimes that you're leaving behind. But I think it's important to focus on your goals, and then you can always come back and say you get an education, you can bring that back to the reservation just to improve it even. So
yeah, I know a big part of me couldn't wait to leave the reserve, and then once I left, all I wanted to do was come back. And I definitely think I land more on the side of wanting to leave the reserve and then, you know, get my education and then come back and change it. I think I get that from my mom. So once again, Brooke, I just wanted to thank you for being here. Everybody, I wanted to thank you all for listening, and I'll see you guys in the next one.